Scripture reading today is from 1 John 4, 7-19. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is made complete with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So, the one who fears is not complete in love. We love because he first loved us. This is the word of the Lord.
Guys, it is the last Sunday of May, the last day of May, and then it's June. Are you guys ready for the summertime? Are you guys traveling anywhere? Are you guys going anywhere on the holidays? Some of you are like, this is my last Sunday, then I'm gone. Then you won't see me at all in the whole summer. Well, hey, I just want to welcome you to church. Whether you're new or whether you've been here for 30 years, just want to welcome you back. Glad you guys are here. My name is Ben. I have the great privilege of preaching today, of opening God's word together, of just growing in our love and affection for Jesus. So I'm really excited to begin a little small collection of talks. So we just finished our series on the Holy Spirit. Did you guys enjoy that? Was it good? Yeah. Luckily, I don't have to. I left that all for Pastor Daniel to do, so now we kind of transition to some easier topics. No, I'm just kidding. But today we're going to be starting kind of a three-week journey as a church before we kind of roll into officially kind of the summer months. We're talking about kind of our vision statements as a church. So today we're going to be talking about what it means to love God with affection and with action. Somebody say affection.
Affection.
Somebody say action. Perfect, you guys are on already. So now if somebody asks you, what did you guys talk about? Now you can say it because you actually said it out loud, so that's good. I want to ask you, when you hear those two words, affection and action, what comes to your mind? Just think about it for a second. When you think of the words affection and action, what are some of the thoughts that begin percolating in your brain? Especially that word affection. Especially that word affection. For some of us, it can maybe feel a little uncomfortable, you know? Affection, I'm affectionate for somebody. Some of you are like, I'm not all about the feelies. That's not who I am. It can make you feel a little strange, maybe a little uncomfortable, especially if we're talking about that in a spiritual sense, in our relationship with God. You know, we're okay talking about, you know, being disciplined in our faith. We're okay with being like, you know, I'm obedient in my faith. You know, I'm okay to serve God. I'm okay to do things for God, but affection? Like, nah, man, I'm gonna take a step back and let the other people kind of venture into that. But we're called to, as believers, to actually love God with affection and with action. Throughout Scripture, I believe that God has never meant for this action, this affection, to feel cold or distant or like mechanical, even like, you know, Mr. Roboto. You know what I'm saying? Never mind. Okay, we'll keep going. It's never meant to feel mechanical like that. God has never wanted this empty religious motion. He always desired our hearts and affections to be for Him. For me, when I think of that word affection, maybe you think of maybe a scene in a movie, or maybe you think of just your wife or your dog, or I don't know. But for me, when I think of the word affection, recently it's been thinking about my little baby girl, Sayla. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It's because she's so cute and I love her so much. But for me, affection, when I think of that word affection, there's a scene that comes into my mind. It's whenever I'm coming home from either the church or I'm out doing a few things, I get the privilege of coming home to my beautiful wife who's holding my little baby, Selah. And Selah's so happy. She's smiling. She does this like thing where she kind of like waves her hands like she's like a, like trying to fly or something. And she does this thing where she kind of like opens her mouth a little bit and she kind of like looks down. It's like the strangest but cutest thing ever. I see her, you know, like she's a baby, right? So her cheeks are all chubby. There's like this different voice that I use that comes out. I'm not going to do it right now because I don't want to embarrass myself in front of you all today. But there's like this, there's something that just comes over me, guys. I don't know what it is. But I just can't contain the love and affection that I have for my little baby. And if you're wondering, that's her right over there. She's just saying, yes, Dad, I agree. Amen. I love you too. Why is this? Why do I feel that way? It's because love naturally expresses itself. Love naturally expresses itself. Affection that I have for my daughter flows from a place, nothing that's being forced, but it's this love that I already have for her. And I wonder if sometimes we struggle to think of our relationship with God in that same way. Obviously not in the way that I described, you know, seeing Selah, you know, there's a bit of a difference there. But somewhere along the way, many of us learn how to serve God and maybe pray to God and do these things for God. But then we've left out this idea about actually receiving his love and actually this affection that we have for God. We know how to stay busy. We know how to perform. We know how to put on a good smile on a Sunday. But loving him from a place of genuine affection can sometimes feel maybe a little bit unfamiliar. Would you say so? Yeah? Okay, I'm not alone. I feel that too sometimes. And then we look at scripture, we discover that God never intended this, yeah, for it to feel like a performance. In fact, from the very beginning, God's pattern has always been the same. His love comes first. We see this clearly in the story of Israel. If you even look from when Moses, or God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments, right? I want you to, maybe we can put that on the screen. Yeah, we have it. Exodus 22. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You know that God says this before the commandments are released. It's not like the commandments are released and then it's like, oh, like, I haven't done anything for you. These are just commands, so obey them. No, God is reminding the people of Israel, hey, I have done these things for you. I have brought you out of a place of oppression, and now I'm instructing you, I'm commanding you, this is how you ought to live. Before the commands were spoken, a reminder was released. A reminder that they were already loved, that God fought for them, that God made a way for them. A reminder that they had already been rescued. God wanted Israel to remember that he wasn't giving them commands so that they could become his people. Rather, he was giving them commands because they already were his people. Their obedience wasn't meant to earn his love. It was meant to flow from his love. Does that make sense? Because the Christian life was never about earning God's approval, right? Through the performance, through the things that we do. I want you to hear me, Redemption Church. If you don't remember anything today, if you're here to eat sausages and hang out outside, remember this, legalism and love cannot thrive in the same place. I'm going to say that again because some of you missed it, some of you are on your phones. Legalism and love cannot thrive in the same place. They do not go hand in hand. God's love is not a reward for people who will perform well enough. Real love is always a response to being loved first. Before we are vessels poured out for others, we are first people who are being filled with the love of God in our own lives. So my prayer for today is that we wouldn't just simply learn about maybe different concepts and ideas about how do we love God with affection and action, but I pray that the Holy Spirit would transfer maybe this head knowledge to our hearts and would it actually be put on display in the way how we love others and how we serve others and how we love Jesus. Does that make sense? So that's my prayer today. No, head knowledge is great, but I pray that God would really do a work in our hearts today, this morning here at church. On this regular Monday, on this regular Sunday afternoon. Oh man, thank you, Jesus. My title today, and I want to preach from the subject, When Love Moves. When love moves. Turn to the person beside you and say, neighbor, today love is going to move. Come on, say it. I want to hear it. And turn to the person that you didn't say hi to and say, hey, I'm glad I'm sitting beside you in church today. Let's go. Some of y'all are like, nah, man, I can't do this. Let's pray as we dive into things today. Jesus, we thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you for just the love that you have for your people, God. Thank you that you are good, that you are faithful. God, we say that you are in charge, that nothing surprises you. Lord, you have everything in control. You are good. You are faithful. Spirit of God, we ask that you would speak to us today. Open our hearts, Lord. Lord, those who are dealing with difficult situations right now, Lord, those who are dealing with trauma, Lord, those who are dealing with stress, we pray, oh God, would you bring refreshing today? God, I pray that as we talk about the word, as we pray together, as we listen to, as we worship together after, I pray, Lord, that there just be this, this wind of heaven would flow through this place today. We love you, Jesus. We pray this all in your amazing name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Amen. So this is my second year, essentially approaching my second year being here at the church. And before I got here, I was actually in Bible college in Abbotsford. I was going to Summit Pacific College. And I had a few professors that had some really good advice over the years. And one time I received a piece of advice from a professor there that has really stuck with me for the last couple years, especially in these kind of first early years of being here at this church and just in general. It was during a time when I was really serving and giving lots. I was, when you're a student at Summit, you have to you don't have to, they should say you get to serve. You get to serve in a local church. And so I was serving at a church that was in Surrey and I was in Abbotsford. And so this church that I was a part of was a new church plant. And so they had locations in different places throughout the Lower Mainland. And they would do set up at another church, or actually it was set up at a school and then they moved to a church. But when I was there, it was setting up at a school. And so when you're a part of a mobile church is what they call it, you have to do everything. You have to set up all the chairs, kind of like what we do here. You have to set up all the instruments. You got to set up the lobbies, signs, welcome desk, all these types of things. So Sundays were just this huge ordeal where me and my friends, and it was an evening service too. So we would leave Abbotsford at 2 o'clock. We'd get to Surrey around 2:30, 2:45. We'd be there from 3 till 5 setting up. Then the church service was taking place. And then after they did a young adults meeting after. So we were coming home at maybe 8 or 9 p.m. So Sundays were a busy day. And I was in this place where I was just feel like I was trying to pour out and give and just give what I had. But I felt just kind of I was giving from this place of there wasn't anything to give. I was just trying to muster it up. And I was telling one of my professors, his name is Andrew Evans. He's a really good guy. And I remember he sat me down and I was kind of sharing him some of my frustrations and some of the struggles that I had. And he says, Ben, if your cup is empty, how do you expect anything to come out? If your cup is empty, how do you expect anything to come out? He said, you must be filled before you can give. And he said a few other things, and it kind of encouraged me. And it really kind of set me straight. And it reminded me that in order for me to be a person who wants to serve God faithfully and with passion and with zeal, I must be serving from a place of overflow. I'm not sure if I just dump this cup again in the water. Same illustration as Daniel from the previous week. No, don't worry. We're not going to be doing any water dumping today. But there's this piece of advice really struck with me, and it reminded me that in order for us to be able to give from a place of abundance, we have to be receiving as well, which leads me into my first point of the day. If you're taking notes or you just like points, we have it on the screen. The first one today, we're talking about, first of all, love received. Somebody say, love received. I'm going to get you guys to do this lots because this is part of how I teach at our preteen gatherings here on Fridays. And so if you come to church hoping to be quiet today, today is not the day, I'm sorry. But today we're going to be talking about first love received. Before we can talk about loving God with affection and action, we have to start here. First, let's talk about that verse that Bonnie, thank you Bonnie also for reading. I want to draw to that very last verse, Micah, 1 John 4:19. The simple verse, we all know it. Let's read it together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Amazing. I want, you guys are so good at reading. Let's do it one more time. 1, 2, 3.
We love because he first loved us.
Amazing. This verse literally encapsulates this first point that I'm trying to go at. We love because he first loved us. That means everything begins with God, not with us, right? It kind of takes that pressure off a little bit. Before we ever prayed a prayer, before we ever stepped into church or maybe even tried getting our lives together, before we did all of these things trying to maybe put on a good image, I'm reminded and I love that before any of that, God pursued us, that God loved us, that he had a plan and a purpose before we even got anything in our lives that were out of order back in line again. God loved us and he was pursuing us even when we were off and we were distant. Not because of what we can offer him, not because of what we had done, but simply because he loves us. Because he loves us. The love of God is something that we'll never be able to fully comprehend. And isn't that one of the best things ever? I feel like you can kind of comprehend certain loves that maybe you have in this world, whether it's, you know, your love for like a TV show or food, whatever. You can wrap your head around that, right? But the love that God has for us is something that we'll never be able to fully grasp or comprehend. Let that sit for a second. The creator of everything you see and love, the creator of all animals, all the places that you travel to, everything, the people, God created everything and he loves you and he's the one that put it all into motion. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is a good verse right there. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were far from him, when we feel like our lives were out of sorts, when we were battling with these patterns of sin, when we feel like we maybe hated God in certain times of our lives, while we were still sinners, while we were distant, his love permeated those areas and he died for us. What an incredible truth that is. It's this consistent pattern throughout scripture. He loves us first. Before we are ever asked to respond, we are first asked to receive. Right? Before we ever to respond, we need to receive. Because God's love is not a reward for good behavior, but it's grace. You realize God is not standing at a distance waiting for you to qualify. He's already near, already loving, already pursuing you. And that is the kind of love that's fully hard to grasp. I even found it in Deuteronomy 32, verse 10. I forgot to put it on the screen, but it actually talks about how we are the apple of his eye. Apple of his eye. In other words, we are seen, we are known, we are cherished by God. That's amazing. And that leads us to focusing less on performance and more on just living in a state of receiving the grace that he has for us. We live with this quiet pressure that may say, if I do more, God will love me more. Have you ever been in that kind of maybe mindset or that thinking, that not a good way of thinking, that if you do a certain amount of things, you will maybe receive more? Has anybody ever been in that state before? You're like, man, I read my Bible lots today or this week. I tithed this week. I was worshiping with all I have. Oh, I'm going to come to Sunday, and this week God is really going to be really impressed with me. Have you guys ever been there before? Yes? Okay, just me. Any other hands? Yes. A few. Great, I'm not alone. We're all, that's good. We're all working on something, right? Man, you are loved before you perform, loved before you succeed, loved before you get your life together. That is good news. Can I get an amen to that? And when that truth begins to settle in your heart, I believe that something begins to shift. The striving starts to loosen, right? The performance starts to fade. And for the first time, you begin to live from this place of acceptance, not for approval. And that's a good place to be in. You begin to move from, I have to live for God, and then it transitions to, I want to live for him. Why? Because I just love him. Because I know that he loves me. And that's what grace does. Because the love of God was never meant to stop at salvation, though. It was meant to awaken affection. Which leads us into our second point today, love returned. Love returned. Look at Matthew 22, verses 37. You guys are familiar with this one too. I'm not trying to stump you with any verses that you've never heard of before. These are all verses you're probably familiar with. So let's read them. Can we read this together? I feel like we did such a good job. Let's read this second verse together, okay? 3, 2, 1. Wow, you guys should preach. I should just sit down. You guys should just take turns coming up here. You guys are awesome. I won't make you read it again, don't worry. Once we receive the love of God, our hearts begin responding back to him. We are called to love God with our heart, with our soul, and with all of our mind, with everything that we have. Christianity is not merely believing facts about God, it's actually growing in affection for him. Let's be real, if being a good follower of Christ was only based on like human knowledge and trying to like understand facts, then the Pharisees would be like the Michael Jordan of Christianity, right? But how many of us know that the Pharisees were not the Michael Jordans? They were not the Michael Jordans of the Christian faith. They were a little bit less than, right? When I read my Bible, these guys were at the bottom of the tier of people that Jesus was trying to correct and change, right? They were not near the top of the list. God's love, just, I don't know. When I think about that, I think that sometimes we can get caught in that type of thinking. But I believe that, I wonder if maybe even today the Holy Spirit wants to maybe change some of that for you today. That it's not about being a good follower, but it's about receiving the grace that he has for you today. Throughout scripture, we see people whose hearts were deeply moved with affection and reverence to God. Let's put up Psalm 63. I'll read this. You guys are done. You guys have served well in that. Let me read Psalm 63, verse 1-4. This is David writing here. He says this, God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. My lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. Wow. I think sometimes we have the tendency to maybe read certain people in the Bible and we maybe kind of like compare yourselves a little bit to like, oh, David is saying all of these things about his affection and how, you know, he earnestly seeks God, but like, how do I do that myself? Let me show you another one. Philippians 3, verses 7-8. This is the Apostle Paul writing. This is one of my favorite verses as well. It says this, but everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Wow. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and considered them as dung. That's the imagery right there, so that I may gain Christ. I don't need to explain what dung is, but let that settle in for a second. Paul is saying nothing compares to knowing Jesus. Nothing compares to just having this like our affections fixed on him and him alone. So here's the important tension that we've kind of already talked about. Let's keep on kind of diving in there a little bit more. Affection doesn't simply mean emotional hype. Affection means delighting in God, desiring his presence, wanting to know him, enjoying him, loving him relationally. Did you know that it is possible to do Christian things without actually loving Jesus? You believe that? It is possible to do these things that we maybe do in our regular lives. Maybe you serve at church. Maybe you are on the prayer or worship team. Maybe you serve communion every now and again, or maybe you lead a life group or you go to a life group or whatever it may be. You know theology, you like singing songs, you raise your hands. You can do all of these things, but then your heart is cold and it's closed off. Why is this? Why is this the case? I want to propose maybe the idea, I think this sometimes happens because along the way, we have stopped actually receiving and we just started to serve. We were serving, we're giving from a place of a half of an empty cup. We're not being filled continually by the Holy Spirit each and every single day. Our cups must remain full. I have the beautiful privilege of having the most amazing wife. I know all the husbands will say, no, my wife is the best. I want to say that I think that my wife, wherever she is, oh, she's probably in the nursery, but that's okay. Maya is the best. I'm grateful to be married to her. She is wonderful. I know all you guys husbands are saying, no, probably not, but let's arm wrestle it out and we'll decide, okay? No, I'm just kidding. One of the things that I love about being married to Maya is we've worked through a lot of things. We started off, you know, when you first get married, you're learning a lot of things, right? You're trying to figure out, you know, what is it like to live together? What is it like to, like, kind of, you know, exist in the same space? But then, like, how do we do this? And I feel like in the kind of the early months obviously, you know, you have the honeymoon phase, and, you know, I don't got to get into any details about those types of things, but, you know, you have the early months where, you know, there should be lots of, like, this affection and love that you have, and of course, there was that, but I feel like sometimes we got into this habit of kind of doing the things just a little bit, and then the things that we, like, should be doing more, like, having these more intentional conversations and asking how things are going and where can I help you, where can I serve you, how can I love you more. I was missing out on some of these things, and eventually it felt like some of our marriage kind of felt like we were just like roommates in some senses, and we were just like, why is this happening? And I remember one time we sat together and we had a long conversation and we kind of had to redirect a few things that were going on in our marriage. We just had to be more open to having these types of conversations. We had to change the way how we did things. And I wonder if sometimes our relationship with God becomes kind of exactly like that. You know, we know how to do Christianity. We come to church. We pray before meals. We read our Bibles on occasion, or maybe you read it more than on occasion. But we actually have stopped delighting in the way that maybe I was supposed to be delighting in my wife more. Maybe we stopped delighting in Christ himself. Our affections maybe, I don't want to say have grown cold, but maybe they've grown a little lukewarm. I wonder if that maybe is you today. I'm not going to get you to raise your hand or anything, but maybe if you were to ask yourselves, where are my affections for Jesus right now in my life? What would that answer be? You don't have to share it. Just think about that for a second. The more we encounter his grace, the more our hearts respond back in love. And one of the clearest pictures of this is found in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah has this overwhelming encounter. He has this vision of the holiness and the glory of God. I want to read this to you. Profound verses here. This is what it says. I'm going to kind of go chunk by chunk here. It says this in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on high and a lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. They each had six wings. With two, they covered their faces, and with two, they covered their feet, and with two, they flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth. The foundations of the doorways shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke." Just picture this moment for a second. He has this moment where he sees these angelic beings flying. He sees the train of his robe is filling the temple. He has this profound sense of just who God is. Isaiah becomes deeply aware that God is, let's just say, in a league of his own. And Isaiah is just a man. And then it goes on to say this in verse 5. Woe is me, for I am ruined because I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. Wow. That's powerful. I don't know about you, but I long to have, maybe not the same type of encounter, but I long to have this revelation of the holiness of God, where I just realize, who am I to even stand in his presence? But what's powerful is that God doesn't leave Isaiah in this kind of, maybe in this place of just feeling like less than. It goes on to say in verse 6 and 7, it says this, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your iniquity is removed and your sin is atoned for.'" Wow. Amen. And then comes the response. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord asking, 'Who will I send? Who will go before us?' And I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" Church, Isaiah's obedience was not rooted in obligation. You notice how there was first this revelation, this encounter of who God was. And then from that response, or from this revelation, became this response. I wonder, we'll obviously never know, but I wonder if he just said, if God were to say, you know, like, "Whom shall I send?" I wonder if that, "Here I am, send me," I wonder if that would have been different if he hadn't had that revelation of the glory and the throne room of God. We'll obviously never know, but I wonder. Isaiah's obedience was not rooted in obligation. It was the overflow response of someone whose heart had encountered the holiness, grace, and presence of God. Because real affection, guys, real affection for God was never meant to stay internal. Eventually, love, it moves. And that brings us to our final point of the day, love released. Love released. This is the action. I love that line that Isaiah says, you know, here I am, send me. You ever have one of those, here I am, send me, God, type of moments? You don't have to raise your hand. I'll just share a story. When I was in YWAM, I did this missions organization. God really encountered me and changed my life when I was 19. And YWAM is this 12-week course that you learn about different attributes of God's character. It's kind of like a discipleship school. And throughout this time, God just slowly worked on my heart. It was so cool. Nothing was forced. It was just over these 12 weeks, God just began to reveal attributes of his character. He reminded me that my sins were paid for. He reminded me that relationship with him isn't something I try to earn or try to muster up like more faith, but it's what I receive. And over time, I just began to just really fall in love with Jesus more. I'm so grateful for that. And then the final week that we had, so each week was kind of a different title. So the first week, for example, was learning about the Father heart of God. And then another week is like, you know, learning about prayer and worship or character and nature of God. So different topics. And then the final week, it was the Holy Spirit week. The Holy Spirit week. And it was in the final session, the final kind of classroom time where we were, this teacher was praying over students. And I was just ready to receive. I was like, Lord, you've revealed just your goodness to me. And you know what? I'm just here. I'm just ready to receive. Like, whatever God it is, I just had that posture. Here I am. Like, I'm ready, God. Like, what do you have to say to me? And it was in that moment where I received prayer and had this prayer. I don't get into all the details. I don't want to bore you with details or anything. But had this genuine encounter with God that really changed the trajectory of my life. And I'm so grateful for that. And it was in that time where I was kind of reminded, even as I was preparing this sermon, where I'm grateful, and I think God is so wise, and God is so smart, he knows. I'm grateful that I didn't get called right away, maybe in the first few weeks of being at this school. But it was over time, I began to have these revelations of who God was. And then from that place of having a revelation, then God extended his hand and asked, hey, will you serve me? Will you give your life up for me? And I feel like my yes was easy because I had this history of God continually revealing himself to me. Does that kind of make sense? And I see that same thing going on in Isaiah as well. It wasn't first the extending, the ask, it was first the revealing. And I pray today that as we head into some worship in a few minutes, I wonder if our prayer today can be, oh God, reveal yourself to me once again. Reveal yourself to me in a fresh and new way, oh God. Doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Doesn't mean that the here I am semi means I have it all figured out. I'm a work in progress. Got lots to learn, but I know that his grace is sufficient each and every single day for me and for all of you. You know, looking back at the story when Isaiah encountered the holiness and the beauty and grace of God, his response was, here I am, send me. And I think that's such a powerful picture. I kind of imagine what that moment would be like, of what happens when someone is genuinely transformed by the love of God. Because real love, I really think that, I don't, maybe you can remember this too, real love changes the way we live. Does the way that God loves you and the way that you receive his love, does that change the way how you live your lives as followers of Jesus? I want you to ask yourselves that question as well. I believe that when the love of God truly fills a person, eventually it begins to overflow into their lives. We have this, we first receive, then God awakens our affections. And from this overflow of affection, there's this going out, this action that I believe is only enabled when we are filled initially. So maybe you're saying like, so what, Ben? You know, like, what does this have to do with me? You know, what am I going to do? I got a career. I'm doing my thing. I'm not going to drop everything that I have and do some profound thing, or maybe you will. But I wonder if today maybe God is just asking, are you available? Are you available today? Maybe it's a big ask, but maybe it's a small thing. Maybe it's something really small, like praying for somebody. Maybe it's like loving your neighbor well. Whatever it may be, God is asking, hey, so-and-so, are you available? What would your response be to that? Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Notice what Jesus does not say. He doesn't say, if you obey me enough, then I will love you. No. Obedience is not the way we earn love. Obedience is the overflow of love. And that's exactly what happened with Isaiah. I'd like to invite the band to come back today as we close. So we're at this crossroads where we know that we're supposed to have this affection for God, but then we're also called to have action as well. What does this look like? Let me share something with you. Affection without action becomes empty emotion, but action without affection becomes exhausting religion. God desires both. He desires affection and action, and that's not something that we just muster up, but it's what we receive together. It's what we receive from the very presence of God. He desires hearts that genuinely love him, that lives for affection for him and him alone. When the love of God transforms your heart, forgiveness becomes possible. Generosity begins to overflow. Loving difficult people becomes like, actually, I can do this. Not because you're trying to prove yourself, but because there's this something that's already taking place deep inside of you. So as we close today, I want to simply walk away reminding you of these, not just 3 points, but where are you in this process? Can you invite you to stand with me today as we close? Maybe today you need to receive God's love again. You've been striving, you've been performing, trying to earn what God has freely already given to you. Maybe that's who you are. Maybe that's what it is for you today. Maybe today your affection for Jesus has grown a little bit cold. And maybe today this is a time where you can realign yourself back with the loving embrace of a father. Not because you've stopped believing in him, but because life has become busy and your relationships with him has become more functional than personal. Or maybe God is just inviting you back into his presence to delight in him once again. Not just work for him, but actually to delight in him. So today, I want to create some space where you actually ask God yourselves, Lord, what is something that I can change in my life today in my pursuit of you? God, how can I love you with my affections and actions? So as the band just begins to play, I wonder if we can, let me just quickly pray for you. And then when I'm done, I want you just to think about that in your own mind as well. Lord, what are you speaking to me right now? Father, I thank you for this moment, Lord. God, I thank you for your presence, Jesus. I thank you that you love every single person here, Lord, that you have good plans in store for your people. Lord, you call us to live from a life of overflow and abundance. But Lord, some of us here may be feeling like our cup is half empty. And so God, I pray that by your grace, God, would you just begin to speak to people right now, Lord, the love, the affection, Lord, that you have for them. Lord, reveal to them that they don't have to perform, Lord Jesus. They don't have to try to muster up their own faith, Lord. They can simply receive the love. And from that place, God, Lord, affection and action becomes birth in them. So Jesus, I just pray a blessing over every single person here today, oh God. So now in your own words, just begin to ask God, Lord, what are you speaking to me today? Maybe you need a fresh touch of his love today. Maybe your affections in him need to begin just to grow. Maybe you just got some sin in your life that you just got to repent and confess. Whatever it may be, I want to just create some space now before we enter into worship again, just to spend a little time with the Lord and just let him speak over you. And he's not coming to bring condemnation or shame, but he wants to reveal his love for you today. So as the band just begins just to play, just begin to continue to ask God, and let's worship together, church, knowing that when we receive from him, when we receive the love, our affections and our actions just can't be contained. Bless you guys.